All right, parents, I know they can still hear us. Who's glad that school starts again tomorrow? All right, yeah, amen. That's your chance to sing hallelujah, right? Yeah. So, school starts back tomorrow. I hope you guys had a wonderful Mardi Gras break, and whether you just got Tuesday off or whether you took the week off, whatever that may have been, but we're glad you're here with us today at church. A couple things that you need to know about. First thing is we've been announcing this, and we've had some questions over the last couple weeks, but our youth fundraiser is going to happen at the end of this month, last Sunday of this month, March 31st, right at the tail end of service. We're going to tag it on real quick, so we want everybody to stick around. We're not going to take a ton of your day, but we're going to be doing some dessert, like a dessert auction. You know, it says bake sale on the slide, but it doesn't have to be baked. Yes, it can be store-bought. But here's what, we want to have some fun with it, because last year we raised money with youth, and we just come to our church, and we said, hey, we need help. Can you make a donation to youth? Well, this year what we want to do is we want to have some fun. So here's the idea. Yes, you can buy a box of Chips Ahoy at Winn-Dixie for a couple bucks, but we want you to be generous and go home with a cake or some sort of dessert and make a generous donation to the youth and get to go home with some sweets, okay? So we're going to need your help in two ways. One is to be here that Sunday and to bid on a dessert. The next thing is we need you to sign up to bring a dessert. And yeah, you can bid on your own dessert if you want to. Who knows? You might bring something you really like, and you're like, I'm going to have fun with it, and I'm going to get in a bidding war with someone across the row from me, all right? So, we're going to have some fun. The person, though, that brings something homemade, and it brings the most money, will get a special prize that day, okay? Some bragging rights. It will be some bragging rights, but there will be something special that day that you will receive. But we're going to have fun with it. Our youth are going to run it, and we're just going to have a good time as we raise money so our students can go help offset some of the costs to go to camp this summer. And we appreciate your participation. The next thing, second announcement, and I'll be done with that, is our Easter egg hunt. We've done this for several years now, but we are having our Easter egg hunt. It will be April 20th, that Saturday at 1 p.m. right out here on the grass lot, and we need you to come to that. But more than just come and show up and bring your kids, we need some people to volunteer. Last year, I think we had about 30-some-odd volunteers, and man, it went over really well. But we need you to volunteer again. If you don't come to me, because I don't know anything, all right, when it comes to this. There's a sign-up sheet, or you can talk to Miss Lori back there in the back, and if you would like to participate and volunteer. And here's the thing. It's one of our biggest events that we do for our community, and we're looking at possibly having 300-400 people show up for this event, and we're going to put out, we've just ordered 6,000 eggs, so we've got a lot of eggs filled with candy, and it's going to be a big event, and we're looking forward to it. And here's the thing, if you don't already have one, you come to this and volunteer, you get a Grace Point green t-shirt. Boom. All right? Man, sign me up twice for that. So, anyway, that's that day. Be looking for more information. That's Easter weekend. We're praying for big things that weekend. And you'll be getting more information about that as we get closer to that date, but we wanted to let you know about that event so you can start planning to be here that weekend and participating and volunteering for that service. So let's go ahead and pray. I know John just prayed and asked the Lord to bless our time and our offering, but let's pray again before we dive into His Word. So, Lord, we love You. We're so thankful for this time to come and to worship. I'm thankful for the people that have walked into this space this morning, even though it's time change Sunday, and it might have been a little rough getting up. But Lord, we just pray, Lord, just now that You would just help us to draw in. Help us to block out any distraction that we have maybe faced this week or this month or maybe even this morning. And God, I pray, Lord, that you would just help us to hone in to what you have for us today, God. Lord, I pray that you, God, would preach a far better sermon than I ever could. And that you would use me as an instrument today, God. And Lord, I pray, Lord, that you would just begin to work in the hearts and the lives of our people. Lord, we love you so much. We're thankful for this time. We ask these things now in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, today we're continuing in the book of James, and we're going to talk about something in our lives that is hard to control. Okay? Something in our lives that is hard to control. Something very powerful and could do much harm to those around us. We're going to talk about our words. James calls it our tongue, our tongues, and how we are, and how we have this, really, at this moment, a concealed weapon on us. This weapon in our mouths. You know, these words we say and use matter in our walk with the Lord. As we've studied James, and as we've walked through chapter 1 and chapter 2, and we've looked and we've had this central theme throughout this whole series, faith that works. And as we've looked at how the things that we do as Christians, they matter. They don't earn our salvation, but they demonstrate our salvation, the work that God has done inside of us. You know, I can tell people all day long about my faith. But if I don't demonstrate it, it's going to fall on deaf ears. It's going to fall on deaf ears. You know, Jesus tells us in Luke chapter 6, verse 45, where our words come from. Let's look at Jesus' words there. Luke 6, verse 45. And it says, the good person out of the good treasure of his heart produces good. And the evil person out of his evil treasure produces evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaks. So where do our words actually come from, according to this passage? According to what Jesus tells us, where do our words come from? Our hearts. What's going on inside of us? What's going on inside of us? I've heard stories of faithful men and women late in life. Late in life, and you know, when memories start to fail. And I specifically heard a story when I was in seminary going through a counseling, biblical counseling program. And the professor was sharing that he had was ministering to a pastor late in his age, and he had dementia, and he was late in life, and he didn't know who he couldn't remember who he was or who his wife was or who his children were. And this pastor, only thing he wanted to talk about was women and dirty stuff. He could control it his whole life. He could control it his whole life because he knew he needed to put a front on. But late in life, when those things, that disease had sunk in, he couldn't control it anymore. And out of his heart, his words began to produce. Jesus tells us that our words, they come from our heart. What's going on inside of us? What is going on outside of us? Our words flow out of our heart. So, our words do matter. We all have been deeply hurt by words of others, right? We can sit here and think, maybe even this week, of how someone's words have hurt us. And at the same, in the same area, we have hurt others with our words. Because when someone hurts us with the words, what's natural? What's our nature to do? To retaliate, right? Yeah. Yeah, to retaliate. Somebody chews me out. Chris's human nature, his sin nature is to lash back out. Yeah. To get the last word in, possibly. We've all been deeply hurt. But on the flip side of that, we all have been greatly helped. We've been greatly encouraged and blessed by the words of others, right? Think about that. Think about those that are just encouragers, that are just helpful. Their words are picked meticulously, and man, they just speak life and energy and encouragement into you. Think about that, man. I want to be around that person, right? I want to put people like that around me that are just encouragers. That are just encouragers. You know, in our passage that we're in today, we will see that James has to say what he has to say about our words and the way we use this tongue that God has put inside of us. But before we dive into James chapter 3, a couple of things that we need to understand in light of this. The first thing is words are important, as we've already said. And we look at Genesis chapter 1. We look at Genesis chapter 1 and verse 3. And listen here in the creation account, listen to these words. And it said, "And God said, let there be light. And there was light." And now we can keep reading through Genesis creation account. And we see that God did what? He said something and it happened. He spoke the sun into existence. That's a pretty powerful word, right? That's pretty powerful. When God spoke, it happened. It happened. Tuesday, we went and sat on Severn. We had a friend there that has a church there on Severn, and they had opened their doors, and we took our family and we went and hung out a little bit in their church as many people gathered there for the parades, and then we walked down and we participated in the parades with the people there, and it was just encouraging to see their church minister to the people that were coming to their front door, letting them use the bathroom for free, letting them have a cup of coffee and hot chocolate, because it was cold, man. That wind was blowing. Let me tell you something. When it's cold outside, you don't think about sunscreen. Okay? Some of you pointed it out this morning. You got burnt. You can see it on my nose, man. That puppy was just blistered. Yeah, I wasn't thinking about sunscreen. I was thinking about bundling up, cold. But man, my cheeks and my nose, luckily I kept a hat on for most of it. My head didn't get blistered too bad, but man, my nose and cheeks were toast. Reminded of how powerful that sun really is. God's word created. He spoke the sun into existence. This little phrase, "then God said," was before everything God creates. He created. God created everything by the power of His words. I think this is this is just my opinion as a pastor. I think He did this for a couple of reasons. First reason, to show His greatness, His powerfulness. He just put Himself on display. And we see God throughout His creation, and it's just glorious. And we live in a time where, man, we can see some really cool stuff that's outside of Earth because of technology of man has made these instruments to be able to see really cool stuff. And man, God is just on display through it all. But I think there's a second reason why God spoke creation into existence. And He's to demonstrate the power of words. The power of words. Now, none of us are going to be able to speak things into existence. Okay? None of us are God. None of us are God. But he does this to show that, man, words are powerful. They are powerful. The next thing we need to know before we dive into James chapter 3 is, first thing we saw that God speaks, or words are important, they're powerful. The second thing is, there in Genesis chapter 3, verse 1, let's read it and I'll explain the second thing we see. It says, "And now the serpent was more crafty than any other beast of the field that the Lord God had made." So we know who the serpent is, and we know that Satan was the serpent here in the story, the devil. And it says, "And he was the most crafty of any beast in the field." And it goes on and said, "And he said to the woman, 'Did God actually say you shall not eat of any tree in the garden?'" Okay, this is big here. What is Satan doing? What is Satan doing here? Satan's words are contradicting, they're distorting, and they're twisting God's word. They are contradicting, they're distorting, and they're twisting God's word. You know, our words are important. Not only because they can be used by many in many good ways, but because they can be used in many evil ways. Our words can be used wrongly, and we see this here in Genesis. We can see one of Satan's main ways of trying to mess up what God was doing. He contradicted, he distorted, and he twisted God's word. That brings us to the thing that we're going to be talking about this morning as we look at James chapter 3. And it deals with our words. Our words. We quickly looked at God's, how when God spoke at creation. And now we look at, we saw how what Satan did right leading into the fall, entering in sin, when sin entered into the world. And now James 3 deals with our words. Our words. Let's read James 3 verse 1. It says, "And not many of you should become teachers, my brothers, for you know that we who teach will be judged with a greater strictness." First thing we need to understand there in James 1, or 3:1, is that there is great responsibility in teaching God's word. Okay, it shouldn't be taken lightly. Shouldn't be taken lightly. Great care and great prayer must go into becoming a teacher of God's word. This is mainly addressing those called to the task of teaching God's word in official capacity as a teacher in the church. But that's not the only thing. It's also speaking to all believers in how we handle God's word and how we handle it. Do we take it serious? Do we understand it before we quote a verse or we throw something out there? You know, teaching God's word must be taken seriously, and James gives that warning. It's a reminder that I give younger people that feel called into ministry the importance and how it shouldn't be taken lightly. James goes on in verse 2. Let's keep reading. It says, "For we all stumble in many ways." Okay, we can relate to that. All of us mess up. No one's perfect, right? It says, "We all stumble in many ways, and if anyone does not stumble in what he says, he is a perfect man, able also to bridle the whole body." So we talk there, looking at our own words. The first thing is we must take great responsibility in teaching God's word. The second thing James points out is that we must realize the potential of what our tongue can do. I mean, you know, at first glance we read that, and I made the statement. We read it and we think, all right, no one's perfect. Thank the Lord. Okay, that's a weight off my shoulder. We all mess up. But we have to understand that that the potential of what our tongue can do, I think that's what he's trying to truly say here. Man, how deadly it is, of what kind of damage it actually can do. No one's perfect, right? But we should strive to mature and grow in our faith. And as we grow in it, we reflect on how we use our words. I still struggle with this. I still struggle with, in the right circumstances, on the right day, when it's been a few hours since I've eaten, and my tongue says things that I'm like, what was I thinking? But as we grow and we mature in our faith, we should be reflecting on how we use our words. And here's the thing, kind of silly, but that's why I believe he's given us a set of lips and a set of teeth that we can cage this wild beast that's in our mouths. Okay? All right? We need to cage this wild beast that is in our mouths. Come on, parents, we've said it. Looked at our kids and be like, you need to shut your mouth. That's exactly how I say it at my house. Okay, especially as they start to enter into this preteen, teen experience where they get a little too big for their britches, right? I say this a lot. You need to shut your mouth. Here's the thing. All of us need to take that advice from time to time. And we need to cage this wild beast that is in our mouths. We need to realize the potential of our tongue, what it can do. Next thing, verses 3 through 6, James goes in, and he starts to give some very practical illustrations. I'm a picture guy. I'll be honest with you. I won't lie. I want to learn something. I want to watch a video, right? Something's broke at home, I YouTube it, okay? Yeah. Man, but the problem with YouTube is you have to watch 100 videos to find a good one, usually, okay? Because everybody's out there is like filming with their phone, and the lighting's poor, and then they edit because they want to make the video shorter, but then they cut out like the part you actually want to know about, and they don't show what you need to see. Anyway, I'm a picture guy. I want somebody to draw me a picture to understand. All of us learn different. Some of you maybe can relate to that. And James gives some very practical illustrations here in verses 3 through 6. Let's read it. It says, if we put bits into the mouth of horses so that they obey us, we guide their whole bodies as well. Look at the ships also. Though they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are guided by a very small rudder wherever the will of the pilot directs. So also the tongue is a small member, yet it boasts of great things. How great a forest is set ablaze by such a small fire. And the tongue is a fire, a world of unrighteousness. The tongue is set among our members, staining the whole body, setting on fire the entire course of life, and set on fire by hell. So he gives some pretty good illustrations. He gives three illustrations there. He talks about horses, talks about ships, and he talks about fire in a forest. And he does that to illustrate the tongue. Okay, do we have any horse people that actually enjoy like horses riding? Yeah, we got one or a couple. Yeah, a few people that enjoy horses, that rode horses. I've been around people that are into horses and know a lot about horses. I don't. I've been horseback riding maybe twice in my life, and I was scared to death the whole time. But the little bit I do know about horses is that when they put the bridle, and the bridle has this bit that goes in the mouth of a horse, and there are different sizes, but they are all relatively small compared to the whole horse, and they will put this in the horse's mouth, and this bit allows them to pretty much have that horse do anything it wants. It directs which way to go, and it, depending on the horse and the type of, personality it has, there are different sizes that cause maybe a little bit more pain than others, depending on how broke they are and how, obedient they are, is a way that I would understand that. And they would do this, and wherever that person is riding that horse and they pull on those reins, that horse is going to go. And it's going to go in these different directions. And how that small little thing in that horse's mouth compared to the size of that horse, how it will tell that horse what to do. He goes on and he gives the illustration that we can understand a little better being so close to the Mississippi River here. We got any people that work on boats? I know Andy Rodriguez drives a tugboat. He's not here today, but he drives a tugboat over here on the river. You know, I'm amazed by them. Every time I drive over the bridge or I'm up on the levee, man, I'm wanting to check out these boats, man. They're cool. It's so big and they're so neat. And to watch them go up and down the river, it's very cool. But these boats, they were controlled by the pilot, the captain, with the wheel. And the wheel does what? It turns the rudder. And the rudders, in comparison to the size of the boat, are very small. Now, I know if we stood beside one of these rudders of these massive cargo ships, this rudder is probably humongous. But look at the size of that boat. Huge. Huge. And James gives this illustration. He's saying, man, this little small thing can take this big massive boat in any direction the pilot wills. And then he gives us the third and final illustration there of this fire. And as you know, here in our country, we've experienced that. I know Justin, being in California, Steve's son, last year had some scary experiences, and I had to leave and evacuate with all the forest fires that happened out west, and how this little ember can start such a great thing. Anybody ever got themselves in trouble with fire? Man, I was about 11 years old. Okay, what is it with little boys and like just pyromaniacs, all right? Yeah. I was about 11 years old and we had just moved and we had a whole bunch of boxes. And luckily this was supervised by my dad this time. I wasn't just playing with matches, even though I had done that. And don't do that, kids, all right? Bad. All right, so we had decided, hey, we're going to burn these boxes. Because we just had masses of boxes. And we lived out in the country in this big cow pasture. And, man, we're like, we're going to burn these boxes down. And it was in the summer, and it was hot, and it was dry. And you guys don't know what that's like here in Louisiana. It's just hot and wet here. But it was hot and dry in East Tennessee in August. And the ground, you know, was all dry, and it was cracking open. It's like asking for water. And we're burning these boxes. Well, the wind picks up while we're burning these boxes. And the next thing we know, we look about 100 feet from us to this fence row that was just brush, overgrown area. And man, it was on fire. And my dad's like, go get a bucket of water. And keep in mind, we just moved in the house and everything was put away. And I go in and I'm trying to find a bucket. Couldn't find a bucket. I'm like, we'll just get 2 44-ounce cups. So I'm filling these cups up and I'm running them out. By the time I run them outside, they're like halfway full. And my dad's like, what are you thinking? And we're like trying to find our water hose because we just moved. I mean, it wasn't hooked up. We're digging the water hose and finally found it, hooked it up. And finally, man, got it, put it out. But man, it was just a scary experience. And we're like, man, we're going to burn this whole place up. This is a scary experience. And it was because some loose burning paper, cardboard material had caught the wind and had flew over and just ignited. Just ignited. And caught it on fire. You know, it's amazing how such a little thing can cause so much damage. And that's our tongue. This little thing that God has given us can cause so much damage. It can hurt. It can tear down. It can destroy. James goes on there in 7 through 10. And he says, "And for every kind of beast and bird, of reptile and sea creature can be tamed and has been tamed by mankind." Who's been to SeaWorld? Right? Who's just amazed by Shamu? Man, that killer whale just does all kinds of cool stuff. And then the dolphins come in. And then you'll go to another show and they've got like porpoises, seals and different things like that. And man, I just love that stuff, man. I'm like, it's just amazed by it. I'm just looking at those things. And man, just cool stuff. James reminds us, and we see it in our world today. Man, every kind of beast and bird or reptile and sea creature can be tamed and has been tamed by mankind. But no human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil, full of deadly poison. Man, that is some words that, man, describe our tongue, man. We just don't think about that. When we think of our words, he says, it is a restless evil, full of deadly poison. With it we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we curse people who are made in the likeness of God. You don't believe that? Man, go in a crowd, drive in a crowd. All right? People driving, congestion, traffic, and you'll believe it. You'll see it. People getting angry. Man, I experienced it yesterday. We were going to soccer games. I had a swing in the gas station. We were early, so Dad was going to get some coffee. Right? And I'm sitting there patiently waiting on, a couple people were backing out to pull into the spot. And I sit there, and I'm sitting there waiting. Been sitting there, first car backs out, moves, I let the next car back out. This car comes flying up through the things, and he stops, and right when that car, I'm like, he can't get my spot. And I just pull in there. Well, I think he thought I stole his spot. And you could tell he was giving me the look. And I got out of the car, left the girls in the car, locked the door. I said, sit here, Dad's going to go grab coffee. And I went over to him, and I said, hey, man, I'd been sitting there for a while. I didn't steal your spot. Just reassured him. Because he got out of his car, and you could see it in his eyes. He was about to let me have it. I didn't get mad at him. I didn't say, hey, dude, my spot. It's my spot. You ain't that big. Yeah. I just gently said, hey, man, I'd been sitting there for a little bit. I hope you don't think I stole your spot. I hope you have a good day. He's like, we're good, man. And went on. It says, for the same mouth comes blessings and cursing. My brother, these things ought not to be so. Our mouths are wicked, and if we do not make a hard enough effort to control them, they will do some damage. Tell you something, I could have got out of my truck and I could have let that guy have it, and someone could have been filming this and it could have been on Facebook that day, and you'd be like, that's the pastor from Grace Point. Don't go there. Yeah. Yeah. It would have made news and it'd been crazy, and I'd got real famous, but not for good reasons. We must recognize how hard it is to tame our tongue. Yes, it is. It's hard work. It takes a conscious effort. It does. Yeah, I got some death stares. And yeah, 20 years ago, probably wouldn't have reacted the same way. We must recognize how hard it is to tame our tongue. Lastly, as we read verses 11, 12, our words are an indication of the shape of our hearts. As we go back to the first passage that we read in Luke 6, 45. Let's read the verses 11 and 12 as we kind of wind down this morning. Luke says, he says, does a spring pour forth from the same opening both fresh and salt water? What do we know about salt water? Man, you know it. Come on now. We're around it. It contaminates fresh water, right? So a fountain can't do both, can it? Right? You can't. Salt water hits it, it's contaminated. It ain't fresh anymore. It's not. It says, spring forth from the same opening, fresh and salt water. Can a fig tree, my brothers, bear olives or grapevine produce figs? Neither a salt pond can yield fresh water. Here's the thing that we have to understand. That our problem is so much deeper than the words that we speak. It roots down to our heart issues. Because like that pastor that I told you about, that was elderly, that had dementia, and he didn't know, he didn't remember who he was no longer able to cover it up. Because I tell you, we can control our words. We can. We can put our business face on and act like pretty decent people. But what is going on in our hearts? Mark chapter 7, the last text we'll look at this morning. Mark chapter 7, verses 14 through 23. I'm going to read it. It says, and he called to the people to him. He called the people to him again and said to them, hear me, all of you, and understand, there is nothing outside a person that by going into him can defile him. But the things that come out of the person are what defile him. And when he has entered the house and left the people, the disciples asked him about the parable. And he said to them, then are you also without understanding? Do you not see that whatever goes into a person from outside cannot defile him, since it enters into his heart, but his stomach, and is expelled? Now he declared all foods are clean. Verse 20, and it says, and he said, what comes out of a person is what defiles him. For from within and out of the heart a man comes evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, coveting, wickedness, deceit, sensuality, envy, slander, pride, foolishness. Verse 23, all these evil things come from within and they defile a person. Here's the thing we got to understand. We are wicked people. And we must understand that our words and our actions don't just happen by random chance. They don't just happen by random chance. It all starts with our hearts and our minds. You know, God wants to renew our hearts and our minds through Christ, though. He does. Now, it's a process. It ain't just going to magically be perfect. But man, it's a part of this thing called progressive sanctification. This thing that God takes each believer, each born-again believer in Jesus Christ, He takes us on this journey. And He's molding us. He's shaping us into His Son's image. And you know, you might be sitting here this morning and you might be a little overwhelmed with it all and discouraged because of your tongue. And as we sit here and we talk about how it's the root of it all is our heart. You might be just overwhelmed by it all. Might be just this overwhelming feeling because of what is going on inside your mind. What is going on inside your heart. But hear this in light of your sin. God wants to do good work inside of you. God wants to do a good work inside of you. You should be encouraged by that. That the God of the universe, the God that spoke the sun into existence, and the God that spoke the universe into existence, wants to do a good work inside of you. And here's where it starts. It starts with there is forgiveness found in Jesus. It starts with Jesus. It starts at the cross. You know, you might be here and need to spend some time with Jesus. You need to spend some time repenting of sin and changing some things in your life. And here's the thing. The beautiful thing is, all of us are there. Maybe at different levels, different struggles. But all of us are there. We all need to continue on this journey with Jesus. And it starts with repenting and turning from sin and pursuing what God has set out for us in our lives. And here's the thing. None of you, not one person, is too far gone or out of God's reach. I have to remind myself of this, not so much for myself personally, but for people I pray for that I feel like are so far from God. I have to remind myself that no one is too far out of the reach of God. None of us are too far gone. We need to not believe Satan's lies anymore, and we need to turn to Jesus. You know, and if you're a follower of Jesus, and we need to be reminded of these practical illustrations about how powerful our tongue is. And we need to be remembered that we should be clothed in righteousness and that God has given us a new heart. And we need to start working towards the people that God is calling us to be. And our speech should be used to proclaim our faith in the gospel. Romans 1:16, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes." Let's pray. Lord, we're so thankful for your word. God, we're thankful for how you use it. Lord, how we can look at a text like today and James 3, and we can be reminded of how we can need to control some things in our life. Well, we need to control just something as, you know, in our human minds, as simple as our speech.